What is peace brain? Peace brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics, open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth, and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and I'm so happy to have you on today. Today, we have an exciting show with a dear friend and colleague, Dr. Ryan Schrock, and he is a chiropractor and a health and wellness fitness proponent. And we're going to be talking about action and health and wellness and really some amazing actions that have happened lately and that really are influencing the whole United States and probably the whole world. So I'm really excited today. And as usual, of course, we open with a quote, and then at the end of the show, which I hope you'll stay tuned for, we do my Peace Brain meditation that is related to the topic of that we're discussing today. So thank you for being here. So I want to open with a quote, and this is wonderful because I have a whole list of quotes that I choose from for each of our shows. And tonight I just said, oh, let me just go pick the first one that catches my eye. And this is what came up, and it's actually very perfect for tonight's show. Now, this one comes from an amazing woman who wrote the book, Women Who Run with the Wolves. Myths and Stories of the Wild Woman Archetype. And her name is Clarissa Pinkola Estes, and she is a Jungian analyst, and she's also a post-trauma specialist. She has written some amazing books and worked with Maya Angelou as a poet and in the health field. So this is the quote that Clarissa Pinkola Estes said. It is not given to us to know which acts or by whom will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. What is needed for dramatic change is an accumulation of acts, adding to, adding more, continuing. We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or hundredth gale. Wow. I get emotional when I read this because we know that it only takes a small group of people to really change the world and to, with their committed action, make a difference. And this quote to me represents tenacity, fortitude, and taking responsibility for one's own actions and attitudes. And so when a few of us really do this, we change our own actions and our attitudes to bring about a beautiful, cooperative, and peaceful world, then the many, the group, will follow. So I'm really excited about talking about that tonight. We have some examples that are just mind-blowing in this date and time. We're in December 2016 talking today. And it's amazing what's happened over this year, just in reflection of, in regards to this quote. So again, we'll be talking about action and responsibility, and also mainly about health and well-being, and how one can create an amazing life of well-being. So with that, I want to introduce our guest, and I want to read you his bio first before we bring him on. And Dr. Ryan Schrock is an amazing man who is a trailblazer for health. He elevates people's awareness to trust their intuitive intelligence within themselves. He wants people to understand that they're designed to be healthy from the inside out. He teaches people to know and apply this principle in their daily life one choice at a time. I really like that, one choice at a time. He says that our genes determine 30% of our health. However, the choices we make, our lifestyle, account for the other 70%, and that's proven by scientific fact. He's practiced in Durango, Colorado, and Atlanta, Georgia, and he's currently starting a chiropractic group practice with three other doctors in Athens, Georgia. And the practice is called Chiropractic Works, and that's where you can find their website at www.chiropracticworks.com. And his mission is to reawaken people to their wholeness as it relates to health and well-being. And he has a beautiful vision that's to nurture a new generation of young people to reawaken to the expression, I was designed to be healthy, and health is created from the inside out. And this applies to every man, woman, and child's reference point from birth to a life of health and well-being. There's much more about Ryan, but I would invite you to look on our page about him, about our guest speaker, and just know that he has amazing criteria, credentials. And so I want to welcome Dr. Ryan Schrock to the Peace Brain Show. Thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you so much, Gail. I'm happy to be here, and my heart is very full after that introduction.
Oh, well, we're just delighted to have you and your experiences here on the show. So with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about your experiences and what may have gotten you into health and well-being, or if we want to talk about the actions, the experiences in that regard, you can go there too. This is a conversation.
Sure. Well, I'll share a little bit of my experience, and I think that life is so much easier understood if we tell it in the form of a story. So
yes, I agree.
I guess take you on a little journey. Imagine a little child, 10 or 11 years old, in a dark, dark room. This child is sweating. This child is nauseous. This child is calling out for his mother. And as the door swings open, the child says, "Shut the door. I can't stand the light." And it feels like a hammer is inside of his head, trying to get out as a vice grip pushes on his head. And this little boy is just in distress, doesn't know what to do. And come out of the room several hours later, this little boy, dazed and confused, just doesn't know what just happened to him. And that little boy was me for 12 years of my life. I suffered from debilitating migraine headaches ever since I was 12 years old. And I went to every doctor and neurologist and specialist that my mother knew of at the time. She was in the health field. And I just was distraught over missing play dates, I was always an athlete, so I missed many games. I can't tell you how many times I wanted to go, and I just physically couldn't because of these migraine headaches that I used to experience. And it wasn't until about my early 20s, Gail, that I got in a small car accident, but I don't like to call them accidents. It's more of an on purpose. But I got in this crash, and it sent me sort of in a whirlwind downward spiral, and my migraine headaches started to get worse. And in fact, my neck started stiffening to the point where I really couldn't move very much. My mobility was affected, and I was a power lifter at the time. I ran a gym at the time, so everybody knew that something was up with me, and the chiropractor just across the street that came in every day as part of his health and well-being routine came in and worked out, and he said, "Ryan, what's wrong with your neck?" And I kind of look over, as you do if you can't move your neck very well. I couldn't actually turn my neck. I just turned my whole body, so if you can imagine that. And he said, "You know what, Ryan, what happened to you? You have a physical problem. We need to check you out, and I have a physical solution." And just with those words, I said, well, I've stepped in my common sense corner. I had been taking some medications and different things that just were not working for me. So it was sort of a last ditch effort, Gail. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history, but I stepped into that man's office and he delivered absolutely great loving care and explained to me. It was actually the first time that a doctor or anyone had explained to me when something happened to me, when a car accident happened to me, and maybe why my headaches were getting worse. He actually had an explanation, and then he had an action. Talk about action. He actually, you know, delivered excellent care, and within two or three adjustments, I was fully mobile again. Not only that, but after his treatment and care, I decided to go to chiropractic school, and so here I am today as a you know, not that scared, nauseous, dizzy little boy anymore, but just a grateful man that someone extended what they knew and what they could do for me out to me. And I'm just doing the same. I'm just finding people that want and are looking and searching for great care and a place of healing and a source of healing, which is always within yourself. That's the biggest thing I discovered through my journey. And so I'm just happy to be here doing the same thing for other people.
Wow, what an amazing story. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, and I know that each person is different and needs their personal diagnosis, but for anyone listening on the call, that what made the chiropractic solution work for, I can understand why it would work for a car accident, a car crash, that mm-hmm. the body
sure.
gets out of alignment. But for the migraines, why would it help that too?
Sure. So there are several, and like I said, you know, someone's healing journey is deeply personal, and every single person, just as unique as your thumbprint is, every case is different. So, you know, I don't want to go step too far into diagnosing and you know, knowing, but if we zoom way out, what we do find is that in an anatomical world, the first two bones in the neck are uniquely shaped. They're differently shaped than the rest of the bones down the spine. And so what can happen even from birth or just growth and development falls over childhood or trauma such as an intense emotional trauma, or chemical toxins coming in the body can irritate the nervous system so much so to the point that it changes the blood flow in the brain differently. And it also, on a musculoskeletal level, can irritate the nervous system so much that it affects the muscles and how they hold, and they'll hold different tension patterns, especially in the upper neck and near the brainstem in the head, and put pressure on the soft tissues and the structures around where the spinal cord and those delicate nerves come out. And I always tell people, you know, if you look at your fist, you know, and you just make a fist and then you look at your arm, the fist is the brain, the arm is the spinal cord, and then all those delicate nerves just spread out everywhere to every tissue, gland, and cell in the body. And it literally is our lifeline. And mm-hmm. there's many other systems working together and working around it, but a lot of times headaches have to do with it could be a cardiovascular issue, and sometimes it can be many different things. But if someone would be listening to the call, what I would say to anyone is just go get checked. They can go in and have a consultation and say, you know, am I in the right place? If it's a chiropractor or if it's a physical therapist or anybody that does body work, they can say, hey, look, can you just check me out and see if this may be the right place for me? And one thing I know as a fact is that the body is an amazing structure and open system, and it always has the ability to heal with less interference in its way, in the nervous system that controls everything.
Yes, it is a miracle machine. It is really amazing. I mean, when you think about it, if you get a cut within a few days, it's healed, or certainly within a week. And the same thing, if you get a cold, it's usually over in a few days or a week. If we break a bone, you know, within 6 weeks, it can heal. I mean, the body knows how to heal when it's given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow. So that drove that. I guess my question, I'm thinking of your story, and certainly that drove you to go into chiropractic school and to become a chiropractic doctor, and that's fantastic. Before that, though, how did you adjust to having that lifestyle and make it as normal as possible?
You're talking about when I was having
you were,
the migraines.
Before you,
was,
yeah,
was,
before you went in, before the car crash, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I suspected in my situation, it was a lot of questions that I had was afterwards, because it was literally a couple of adjustments. So the story goes, not only was I mobile, but I never had any migraine headaches again. I didn't say I didn't have, maybe dehydration headache or a little ache and pain there.
That we all get occasionally.
Exactly. Yeah, sure, that we all get. And most of it was self-imposed. You know, I admit, you know, I'm a runner, so I'll get dehydrated and forget to drink too much water or enough water and such. But before then, it was very... It really hurt my self-esteem a lot going through life, because I was a great athlete and I picked up really any sport. I played baseball and I played golf since I was 4, and I played basketball up until high school. And I played many, many different sports, soccer, and I got into powerlifting competitions when I was like into my college years. And it really hurt my self-esteem though, because when I would come down with a migraine and it would start to happen, I just deflated, because I knew that would affect my relationships. I knew that if I had a competition, or, you know, somebody listening out there may have a big meeting coming up or an interview. Anybody that is out there that suffers from migraines can tell you, it's just so disheartening when you work so hard for something and then one starts to come on and there's almost nothing you can do when that train starts rolling. Mm-hmm. And so the way I adapted to was just, one, an amazing support system. My mother being one, because she was just, you know, her heart was just so big when I would start to get one of these, and she was so understanding. And she was a nurse herself, so she already had that healing touch. And just sometimes what I would say to anybody coping with anything like this out there is surround yourself with loving, caring, and supporting people. And they don't have to be your family. There's many support groups that are formed around migraine headaches and different ailments that people suffer with, that they can reach out and get that support. So I reached out a lot to my family and my mother. And then another thing that I found that could kind of calm me down when I was having anxiety about them was a pet. So I've got my bow dog right here sitting next to me. And, you know, whether it's performance or whether it's just calming someone down from anxiety, I think that dogs or cats or horses even are a very safe source for people to take solace in when they're going through something. Because sometimes it's not about getting rid of the pain. It's sometimes about how do I best adapt my life so I can create the right conditions to have less of,
exactly,
or to get through difficult times.
It's more about getting rid of the anxiety about having that ailment and de-stressing. And certainly animals are a huge attribute, you know, contribution to bringing in that peacefulness, that anti-stress to each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. It felt like when you shared your story that you were so courageous to go forth and become such a great athlete and to use your physical body in many different ways in all these different sports and really become excellent at each of those. And then, as you said, run a gym, or, you know, I know you were a personal trainer, and, you know, just doing so much with the physical body, that to have that kind of issue that would pop up of the migraines is really courageous and really you must have had, it felt like a great support system to be able to be compassionate with you about that, because I hear you that when you couldn't compete or couldn't finish up what you had started, that really must have been quite sad, frustrating. Yeah. Wow. Well, you are, I can tell, you are very much an athlete because you have that physique where you're taking care of yourself, and I can tell you're a runner. You know, anyone who looks at you goes, wow, this guy's in shape. And really, you do put the physical, I won't say first, but, you know, as a high priority. And that really is a great compliment to your chiropractic care. I guess along those lines, I'll share that, you know, I'd come to you not only for chiropractic care, but then to say, are there exercises that I can do that would support my back and not hurt my back, because I have scoliosis and have Harrington rods in my back, so that I was looking for something specifically. And you would come up with an amazing class and some foundation exercises that really helped and that were easy to do in my condition. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, and believe me, I do come up with creative things sometimes to serve the person in front of me, but I can't take the credit for the actual foundation exercises. If anybody listening out there is interested in what you were talking about, foundation exercises or foundation training is what it calls, a man by the name of Dr. Eric Goodman, G-O-O-D-M-A-N, and you can actually purchase a book and also MP3s where you can, he'll take you through exercises. And like I said before, sometimes it's not about getting out of the pain, because I always tell people, well, a fifth of tequila is quicker, you know, if you just want to get out of pain. But also, and I say that jokingly, of course.
Yeah, I know.
But sometimes it's about how to best move through. So what scientific research has shown and what clinical research has shown as well is that putting people on bed rest after a back injury or, say, a surgery, that's a big no-no now. It used to be the standard, but now our standards have changed, and as they should, as we go through time. And one thing that Dr. Eric Goodman kind of explored was that he had a spinal injury, and he went through many treatments and many therapies. He just couldn't quite get to the place that he wanted to. And that level is going to be different for everybody. Some people may just be grateful to garden again, but he wanted to be at a higher level in his performance, and so he also didn't want to be inhibited movement-wise. So he actually created a system to best move through pain if you're having a spinal injury. And, you know, just for anyone listening out there, you know, that can also happen, you know, it can happen many different ways. But what I see most of is that, you know, in the society that we live in and the technological advance that we live in as far as how we work, now, most of it's sitting. And I truly believe that sitting is sort of the new smoking, is that it is really little by little, little movement by little movement in front of these computer screens. If we don't do anything to combat this, it will really start to change our posture as a society. And as I've seen, many health conditions come from abnormal posture and pressure on certain areas of the body that actually start to affect organs, including the brain. So,
so we really need to be aware to move and change
absolutely.
Our posture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would check out that work, and I would also, I'm a big advocate for yoga. I love yoga. Hello, all you yogis out there. My favorite yoga is yin, and it's just a gentle yoga that you hold postures for a long time. And that's just my personal favorite because it gets into a tissue in the body called the fascia around the joints specifically. So for someone with joint pain, it actually is very, very gentle and easy. And it really allows the person to get into stretching the tissues around the joints. So And you know, so that's movement yin is life, and life yoga? Is movement. Yin, Y-I-N.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I always say that movement is life, and life is movement. So you just got to keep moving no matter what. You just maybe have to find a better way to move.
It's true. We really weren't meant to be sitting still, you know, not mm-hmm. not in a long periods of time. You're absolutely
right.
Correct. The body is amazing in its movement. So I was just watching a YouTube of some dance, and then when I watch acrobatics, and I mean, it's just amazing what our bodies can do with movement and the possibilities that are there. So keeping it supple and exercise throughout life is really important.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, you know, we were talking about action earlier, and Clarissa Pinkola's Estes's quote about that it isn't about one act or what will cause the critical mass, but it's really about making those accumulation of acts. And you mentioned something before the show that just happened recently, and that is, of course, the Dakota Pipeline and Standing Rock, the protests that were happening from the indigenous cultures, the native peoples of America, saying we're the water protectors and we need to reroute this pipeline because it's against the treaty of this is our land and it doesn't need to be here, that there was a resolution in that case. Let's talk about that for just a little bit.
Sure. I did a sweat lodge not too long ago, it was just over a month ago, and I was talking to one of the elders that did this sweat lodge, and we did a traditional Lakota ceremony, and he was telling me that this is the first time, talk about just an accumulation of acts, it's also an accumulation of people that happened. This is the first time that all tribes, no matter if they had this resistance within the other tribes or, you know, infighting going on, everyone stopped and supported in protecting the water there in Dakotas. And it was the first time that all tribes had been represented at one event that he knew of. And I just thought that was an amazing act of love and kind of resolve within everyone's heart to say, okay, we're going to put our personal differences aside and we're going to protect the land that gives so much to us. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just, you know, and I have not followed this story really, really closely. However, it was day in, day out, an accumulation of people putting their lives on the line, putting their jobs on the line, putting their families on hold, some people leaving their kids or taking their kids with them to go support this. And it was not just the Native American people that supported this. There are many people that came to their side. And I just thought it was a beautiful example of an accumulation of acts that happened. And then, you know, to see today just this last weekend that they have some resolve to that and that they're going to be looking for alternative routes to build the pipeline.
And that is just so amazing because you're absolutely correct that I had some friends who went up there and they're not Native American. They are, you know, white and Anglo-Saxon Protestant people, you know, so the whole rainbow culture was there. The whole human race, it was represented there, and it really has been this unifying act, and really of suffering and trial by, you know, and controversy on both sides. And so you had mentioned that there was a prayer that happened on Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
There was just through unity.org, I believe, there was a worldwide prayer that was happening for this, for resolve for this, and it ended up coming to fruition. So I think that you know, we need to do more collective praying and collective supporting, no matter if it's your brother and sister across the world. We're all one human family. And I think that this is just, we're seeing acts of that, and we're seeing projects and examples of that. And I think it's wonderful for our kids to see that.
Yes, I agree. And we don't often talk about prayer or get together with our neighbors to pray. Sometimes it feels like it's too much getting into a religious connotation of siding with one group or not another, or not being an interfaith group. And so that's, I guess, what I want to point out here is that prayer is just that connection of the human heart and human spirit, and calling out to the Creator of, you know, what we want to create in this world, of making it a better world of justice and peace and unity, and that we can pray with our neighbors whether they are of the same faith as ourselves or not. And that doesn't, you know, we each have our own gifts and our own beliefs, and that's the beauty of the human race, is coming together in that diversity and really supporting each other. So that's something I would encourage, as you said, to have more of the prayer, more of the just getting together and talking about how we want to create a better community and a better world, and then praying for it and really making that happen. Yeah. So where do you want to go to next?
I really enjoyed I like how this actually came into the word action, came into the picture. What I see, and I kind of just wrote these down, I actually wrote down accumulation of acts. And I also feel like health and well-being is one choice at a time, and it's an accumulation of acts. And if I go back to and recenter on what my mission is, to reawaken people to their wholeness, the root word of health is heal, and the root word of heal comes from a word, halen, H-A-E-L-E-N, and that word means to be whole. So
nice.
To be healthy is really to be whole. And so that doesn't mean pain-free. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean pain-free. That doesn't mean all the time. That doesn't mean one way or to be one certain way. It's to be in the mirror of life, per se, and just seeing yourself for who you are, and no worse. You know, I think a lot of people, I was at a conference recently, and this gentleman said, too many people join the self-beaters club. They just beat themselves up. And, you know, it's always great to do an inventory and say, okay, where am I at? You know, and this is what I do with people sometimes when I have conversations with them, when we build some rapport up, I say, you know, let's take an inventory of where you're at, your physical, your emotional, your, you know, the food you're eating. Let's take an inventory and just see it how it is. But let's not see it worse than that. And so I just very much believe that people can start to accumulate acts. And as they start to get more healthy, it's not that people just make healthy decisions, because everybody knows, and you could probably chime in on this but too, Gail, but does everyone know how to eat healthily? Is
yes,
it hard?
I think so. No, we've heard it before. Yes.
Right. And, you know, if you took a plate and just put 75% green stuff and then 25% whatever else, and only did that, you'd be way better off.
That's true.
Everybody kind of knows that. So even if it's chocolate cake, you know, the other 25%, you give yourself a little leeway. However, what I've seen is that as people actually start to get healthier, with a little trust from a guide such as me, a doctor, if it's someone, in it's a nutritionist, if it's a yoga teacher, someone where they just trust the person. If it's a mother, father, brother, sister, if it's just, if they can just trust the person a little bit to take those first couple steps to get some momentum, then when people start to feel healthier and when they start to be healthier, then they start to really make healthier decisions in their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they might quit a job. I've had people when I'm taking care of, they go, I'm sick of this. I'm done. This emotional stress on me is too much. And they just quit their job and they get another job and they're much happier. And their body is, you know, reaps the benefits of that.
Yeah.
So it's mm-hmm. just the accumulation of those acts that reawaken someone to the wholeness that they actually already are. And that
exactly.
that is a very healthy person to me.
Exactly. We used to say in the classes I was teaching that have to do with energy work that the same thing, if once you start to find out who you really are, which is this divine being and much more than a physical body, but certainly connected to the physical and all the choices that are made day to day, that and get rid of the what I am not, in other words, be able to let go of all the things that may have been judgments from the other people or expectations or sort of spiritual contracts that maybe we really didn't make that doesn't serve us. Once we let go of all those things, that we would find people would do just that. They might change their job and say, well, I don't deserve that anymore. I don't deserve the trauma and the stress and the things that I'm really that I'm not using my gifts and I don't like the environment, and they'd go off and find something much, much better. And same thing with relationships, etc. Because the body strives for health and well-being, and it does know how to reach that threshold of health and well-being, and certainly create environments that are uplifting and opening of to opportunities and doors. And we don't often give ourselves permission to do that in the current structure of society. In fact, there was one conference where we were encouraged to turn to the neighbor or in a small group that we were in and kind of brag about ourselves. In other words, what were our gifts and what were our strengths? And to be able to actually speak those out loud, which we don't necessarily, it's not a common thing that I've run across that people will do in a very humble way, you know, that in other words, to own it, that this is who I am. So that goes straight along with health.
Absolutely, absolutely. I heard a quote the other day that just really shook me up and gave me goosebumps. It said that the body weeps the tears that our eyes cannot cry. And
Whoa. Oh,
how true that is, that our bodies can completely change and we can hold so many things in, and we're just not willing to express that hurt and that emotional angst that we may be feeling inside. And I go back to earlier, like just be, you can always surround yourself with someone different. And it doesn't usually cost anything. It's just, you just start to reach out and surround yourself with people that are going to remind you of who you really are. And that's, you know, you really are divinity. You really are whole. You really are love. And you really are a strong person and a wholehearted person. You just may have forgotten.
And that gets back to, thank you for sharing that quote. That's really powerful. It gets back to what you were saying about your support system when you were younger, that surrounding oneself with a compassionate group of supporters is so important. And then, of course, feeling that way about oneself, too, that we can get that affirmation of who we really are and that we can move through this life when we have when we surround ourselves with people of, you know, who love us and will support us no matter what is happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how would you turn this?
I love.
Yes.
What's that?
How would you turn this quote around? Just for a moment, because you said our body weeps the tears that our eyes cannot cry, I believe is the quote.
Yeah.
If you were going to turn it around to a positive, our body smiles or laughs at...
sure, so...
Did you see what I'm trying to get at here?
Yeah, sure. So if you were to say something different than that, you would say... Ooh, this is a tough one. This is a riddle. You know, the body really does tell you I love you when you allow everything in life to come in, integrate, and flow through and let it go. So
there
the body
go.
Really will, it will feel good, it will smile, it will feel lighter, in fact, if you just, you know, one of my pastor at the Spiritual Living Center I go to said, if nothing else, just, you know, your car is a great place. He said, just get in your car and scream, just scream, scream, scream. And he said, if you don't feel lighter after that, then you really got some issues going on. So even just using your body, and that's what I encourage people to do, is use this wonderful giveaway from life, capital L. We get to construct a life, little L, over an accumulation of acts that we do. But one thing that we need to get back to, and this goes with my mission and vision, is teaching the younger generation that you've designed to be healthy, that it's not all just genetic determination, that you can do things to surround yourself with people, to put yourself in environments where you will be taught how to use your body and not lose your body over time. We all know that we're going to age, and we all have to come to the grips that we will come to the end of this life. But the quality of which we live it is very, very much in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a very firm believer of that, and I have taught myself to do that, because oftentimes when I look back at, you know, going back to the migraines, I truly believe, Gail, that I was trying to realign my body through movement. I was,
mm-hmm.
my body was saying, go move, because that is when I felt the best, is when I was moving. And when I was on running, or when I was chasing down a ball in the court, all those times, those were the best I've ever felt. And they continue to be, even though I don't happen to have, I'm able to adapt to life stresses enough where I don't have migraine headaches. However, you know, spiritual alignment, emotional alignment, alignment through physical motion, it's all important. And that's what makes up the whole of us.
So you're pointing out that it is not just about physical movement. It's also about one's mental and emotional attitudes and what we do to uplift our spirit as well.
Absolutely. I would always say that mindset, it starts with the way that you set your mind. And just an easy way, just an easy example is how I set my mind. I'll just use myself. And you know this because you were friends on Facebook. But I use my Facebook as my gratitude journal. And I get up each day or every other day, and the way that I prime myself and prime my mind is I just take a couple deep breaths, and I think of two things that I'm grateful for. So one is a real, real simple one. Sometimes I just, you know, maybe step out the door and say, I'm so grateful for this air that I get to breathe, that's oxygenating my blood and my lungs and my body, just to be able to step over to my car to get inside. That may be one that's simple. And then, you know, a more difficult one, or not a difficult one, but a deeper one emotionally would be, I'm just so glad that I have this wonderful being, Janet, next to me to eat breakfast with and talk to and converse. And even if we don't agree all the time, I just am grateful to have someone to argue with, you know, something funny, kooky like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something to bring me back and bring my mind back to a reset, that there is something that I can be thankful for even though it's not Thanksgiving, and even though it's not a holiday, it's just today is where the gratitude lives, is the now.
What a beautiful way to start the day.
That's how I reset my mind. Mm-hmm.
And so you said your Facebook group or page is Gratitude Guy?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, Gratitude Guy. So you can look me up, and I often will just put something inspiring to me that day or record my gratitude. And I always welcome comments, and I love when people are just encouraging back to me.
Excellent. And it's something, obviously, that we each could remember each day rather than just a few times a year in these holidays or in Thanksgiving and special occasions. It's really that our lives, each of our lives, are created from this present moment. And so how, when I wake up in the morning, what do I want to create today, you know, is the question I usually ask myself. And I love adding that gratitude portion onto it. That just puts it in a whole different light of, I'm grateful to be able to wake up. And as former President Jimmy Carter said, you know, the alternative is not that pleasant. In other words, he said, he wrote his book about living to 90 plus and being able to wake up each morning and just being grateful for that, because, you know, if you can't, then you're not around, not on the physical plane anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And somebody like that is just, I feel like he lives in such a beautiful state. So that's not my words. Those are words of Tony Robbins. And he's a health and performance strategist and just a wonderful human being. And I often say, like, how can I live my life in this beautiful state, this grateful state, where, you know, I am going to go through life just like anyone else, but it is my choosing to live in that beautiful state and start my day with that beautiful state, no matter what happens.
Exactly.
And I truly believe that that's where health starts as well, is our mind is so powerful that we have to get back into the mindset and then bring our mind into our heart and really ask inside, what do I need today first? And then we will be able to reach out to others.
Well, you're setting the stage for the Peace Brain meditation. So thank you.
Excellent.
And I will say, because we're getting toward the end of the show, what else would you like to wrap up for our listeners?
I want to share my philosophy of life, that three bullet points, simplistic bullet point philosophy that I live by. And I encourage others, I challenge others out there to really try to take their lives and distill their life to a knowing in their heart that this is what they need to do each day, get in the mindset each day to do. And mine is, number one, fill your heart. Do what fills your heart. Do what you love. Start your day off with something that really brings you to your center or to a place where you feel like you're able to take on the day. So fill your heart first. Move your feet. So movement is second. You can't just feel good feelings and positive feelings. You actually have to act and move your feet. And then the third, which I often think we forget, is to celebrate. Celebrate those little acts along the way that we accumulate. So whatever our life is, the life that we choose to construct, celebrate along the way, even if it's just little things. And I always just say, you can't shake your butt and be mad at the same time. So if you need to, just give it a little wiggle back there and throw up your arm and bring it down by your side and just say yes. And that would be my advice going forward, is find your little three-step philosophy and put that hand in the air and bring it down, the elbow to the side, and just say yes.
Wow, I love it. Well, thank you, Ryan, for being on the Peace Brain Show. I really appreciate having you here today.
Thank you so much, Gail. I really had a great time tonight. And Bo says thank you for letting him lay in on the interview. Bo Dog is very, very relaxed.
Thank you, Bo Dog. So
and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for being here. So we'll go into our Peace Brain meditation, and I want everyone to just settle back, take a breath, and be present. Be present. You might check your grounding cord. We've done this on other shows, of giving yourself an energetic connection from the base of your spine down to the center of the planet, the iron crystal core of Mother Earth. I like to visualize a beam of light coming out of my last vertebrae and going down to the iron crystal core. And just allow any of your thoughts, your past, your future, to go down the grounding cord to be recycled into new energy so you can become present in this very moment. And take a breath. And as we've been talking about, let's set your day, set your table, set your mind. So think about, what are you grateful for? What are two things that you are grateful for in your life right this moment, right now? And go into your heart, and those words, those actions, those things you're grateful for will be there. Know that all of your answers are within your heart. Your heart is really your magnetic center. It's the center of your emotions. It's your center of your divinity, your sacredness. And so bring those two actions, those two things that you're grateful for, up into your mind and admire them. Be happy that you have these in your life. And now think about your health and your environment that you've created for yourself. That is not only your physical being, but also the environment that you've created in your relationships, in your home, in your work, and in your play. Think about your life. It's not good or bad. It is. And it's perfect for you right at this moment. Many, many parts of yourself have come together to create who you are today. Love yourself for who you are. And love your body and your environment for what it is right this moment. And then think, how could you move forward? How can you move your body and perhaps also move toward a goal or something you may have set on the shelf that it may be time to bring down, a project or a new venture, a new idea, a new part of yourself that you may have hidden and may not have paid attention to for a while. See if there's something that comes to your mind and your heart. How could you move yourself? Maybe just in a dance, maybe in a jig, maybe in yoga, maybe in being of service of some way that you've been meaning to do, or some project. See what comes to your mind. And think, yes, I will do this. I will do this and test it out to see how it feels. And feel just how that awareness or that choice feels within your heart and your mind. Feel it in your heart, this decision. And then see it being accomplished. Whatever this choice that you've made, whatever this movement that you've taken with your body or your mind or your spirit, see it accomplished. Put yourself as if it has already occurred. And celebrate. celebrate it. And even choose to celebrate that you have simply made the choice to move forward, to actually physically move or move in some emotional or mental way, a new quality or project in your life. Feel the happiness in your heart. Feel the joy of who you are. Feel the love that you have for yourself. And now I invite you to send that beautiful love from your heart out to all those around you, all those in your life who are supporting you, who are sending you love back. Be in gratitude for them as well, and know that you have created that camaraderie, that community around you. Good job. For it is not just you alone in the world who is taking action and making things happen. It is you moving through the world and influencing others and joining in community with others to take action with resolve and tenacity and fortitude. And through those actions, changes occur. Sometimes dramatic, sometimes just minimal, but always changes. We are always in change and in flux, and that's a good thing. So take a breath and celebrate who you are today and who you are becoming in your choice as you move forward in life. Thank you for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show. Take a breath and bring yourself back to your chair, wherever you are sitting. And I want to thank Dr. Ryan Schrock for being on the Peace Brain Show today. And you can find out more about Dr. Ryan at Chiropractic Works. That's chiropracticworks.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, Dr. Gail Lash, you can find out more about me at tourismforpeace.com or email me at hello@peacebrain.org. And now please go forth and activate your peace brain and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Alchemy of Peace coaching sessions, her Peace Master plans for your business or organization, and her upcoming book, Peace Brain 101. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 2 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern for the Peace Brain Show and your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.